really, when you think of our task today, maybe it might not be as severe as theirs was. But brethren, we still have a task today to go out and tell the gospel. I'm thankful that some of us, really none of us, are being persecuted the way they were. We have free reign to go out and tell everyone about the risen Savior, about his kingdom, the church. And shouldn't we take that seriously? Brethren, we should take that seriously. And the reason why is because God himself gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In Matthew chapter 10, I want us to notice some things real swiftly. Like I stated in the first four verses, he calls his 12 disciples and he names them off. But he sends them out, verses 5 through verse number 15. And he tells them that he's going to take care of all of their provisions. As a matter of fact, these men went out into the world with nothing but the gospel and the care of God. God is going to take care of them. And I want us to stop for a second and think about this. We'll get to the lesson. All this is introduction. I'm losing some of my Bible. That's what happened when you kind of use it every now and then. It kind of tears up on you. In Matthew 6 and verse number 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. When you look at verses 25 through verse number 32, God is taking care of the birds of the air, the lily of the field, and he says, surely he'll take care of you. God is going to take care of his people, especially those who seek first the kingdom, those who are doing his will. Why? Because we are valuable. And we have a treasure within us, the gospel, to take out. When we stop and we think about these things, brethren, we're valuable. Brother Bonner, why you keep saying that? Because that's the point I'm trying to get across. Some of us in the Lord's church don't think we're valuable. And let me say, and I'm going to be very frank this morning, especially when you get up in age, you think that I'm not as valuable. You are valuable. As a matter of fact, the congregation where I labor, I would have to say about 60% of the congregation are what we call geriatric, or elderly. And we need them. They are a source of encouragement. They are the ones that are telling us as young people, you go out and fight the good fight. Sometimes when we get older, we think we're not valuable. And then those who are young of age say, well, I'm not old enough to be valuable yet. You're valuable as well. All of us are valuable. I want us to notice, look at verse number 16. Jesus is going to send his disciples out. Notice what the Bible says. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in the synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them as and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about what you should speak, for it should be given to you in that hour what you should speak. Now, we have to keep in mind, this is why I stated verses 1 through 4. Notice the context. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He's talking about direct revelation from the Holy Spirit to these men to speak. Well, today, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, we have to study to show ourselves approved unto God. There's no direct Holy Spirit operation on us. We have to study the Word. Amen. We do still believe that, right? We have to memorize the Word of God. As a matter of fact, when you think of the Scriptures, Psalm 119 and verse number 11, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. What is the psalmist saying? That we need to memorize the word, that we therefore we can live by it. Well, let's continue to read. Verse number 20. For it is not you who speaks, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Now, brothers will deliver up brother to death, and father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. Heaven is our goal. If heaven is not our goal, brethren, then what is our goal? As a matter of fact, you can have all of the greatest goals in this life, and if heaven is not one of them, you missed the whole boat. Jesus said in Matthew 16 and verse number 26 and following, what would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? We're going to find out some things about the soul here in a minute. Let's continue to read. He says, when they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For surely I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man come. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. Now notice, Jesus has given them words of admonition here, teaching them humility. None of us are greater than the Christ. He's our master. He's our teacher. As a matter of fact, according to Ephesians 1 and verse 22 and 23, God had put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the what? Church. He is number one. When you look at the book of Hebrews, he is supreme. He is superior over all things. We have to believe that as servants of God, that we're not above Jesus. You know, it's unfortunate that many, even children of God, Christians in the Lord's church, the church of Christ, they believe that they are far above the Christ because they're taking his teachings and they're defiling them. These words came from the very Father in heaven, John 12, verse 48. Jesus said, I haven't even spoken of my own authority, but the Father who gave me what to say and what to speak. And don't you know those things bring forth everlasting life? Brethren, what Jesus says is true, and let God be true, every man a liar. Let's keep reading. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? Therefore, do not fear them. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. All right, here we go. All of that was introduction. Now I want us to get to the lesson. Brethren, when we think of value, that which has worth, that which means something. Notice verse number 27. I want us to talk about the value of instruction. The value of instruction. Notice what the Bible says. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, here it is, preach on the housetops. Now notice who he's speaking to. Verses 1 through 4, he's speaking to his disciples. He's giving them instruction. Do you truly believe that Christ wanted them to keep his instructions? What if they would have gone out and done their own thing? What if they would not have valued the instructions that Jesus gave them? They would have went out and preached some other doctrine, some other gospel. So when we go out and we teach people today, we have to value instruction and value where the instruction come from. Our instruction as children of God come from heaven, come from God. And this is why we have to be very careful that we rightly divide the word of truth. Notice verse 28 and 29, the value of the soul, the value of the soul. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to deliver both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are more valued than many sparrows. The value of the soul, also the value of man, all of those things are inclusive right here. How valuable is our soul? We understand that man, according to 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23, is made up of body, soul, and spirit. The body came from the dust. As a matter of fact, when you think of Genesis 2 and verse number 7, God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. He made man from the dust. And when we die, we're going to go back to the dust. The spirit. God gave the spirit. And according to Ecclesiastes 12, when we die, the spirit is going to go back to God. And when we die, the spirit and the body separates, James 2 in verse number 26. But soul, that is your personality. That is you. That is what defines you. As a matter of fact, when you become angry or upset and joyous and happy, that's your soul. And one day, your soul is going to live forever somewhere. And according to Luke 16, we have this grand picture. One in Abraham's bosom by the name of Lazarus, and the rich man in that place of torment. We have this picture of the souls, this area of men who are still alive, yet they are separated from their flesh. Still aware of their situations that they had in life past. The soul. The very purpose of our soul is to connect with our God. So we can live eternally with Him. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us in 2 Peter 3, verse number 9, that God is not slack concerning His promise. As men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us with not willing that, here it is, any should perish, but that all come to repentance. God want all men to be saved, 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 4, and come to the knowledge of the truth. God wants our souls to be with Him throughout eternity. And here we see the Christ as He is encouraging, instructing, informing, His disciples, do not worry about those who kill your body. Do my will. You're valuable. Your soul is valuable. But not only your soul is valuable, but those in whom you're going to go preach to, they're valuable as well. Well, when we stop and we think about these things, when a bird hits the ground, God knows it. Brethren, what does that tell us? What does that tell us? Anybody knows? Brother Darwin, what does that tell us?
Well, man's more valuable than a bird. More. God knows about the birds too.
And that means that God is very in tune with what is going on down here. No wonder the Bible still says in Proverbs 15 and verse number 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place beholding the good and the evil. The reason why I can sleep in my hotel room at night and live a very life of integrity because I know God is watching me. Just because I'm away from home doesn't mean I can act up. That's right. Because I know that God is watching and He is just as in tune with what's going on in my life as in your life. And He cares. And you know what? That's what keeps us humble. That's what keeps me humble. And it keeps me straight. Because just because no one is watching physically, there is an all-seeing eye watching you. Why is that? Why is God always watching? Because He cares. He loves. We're valuable. Can you imagine the disciples getting this instruction from the Christ? They're going out into the world. And they know for a fact that as I'm going out, God is with me. I don't know about you, but that encourages me. Does that encourage you? It encourages you. And I truly believe when you stop and you think about what Jesus was trying to get His disciples to think, He wanted them to know that God is with you. Romans 8 and verse number 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? 1 John 4 and verse number 4, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. He wanted them to know that God is for you and go out there and preach the gospel. You're valuable. Souls of men are valuable. Men are valuable. But notice verse 32 and 33. Jesus is valuable. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. Whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. How valuable is Jesus? Jesus had to be so valuable in the ears and in the sight of those in whom the disciples was preaching to, that they were willing to deny their gods, even their families, their doctrines, in order to follow him fully. Now we have to stop and think about the confession that he's talking about here and the time frame in which they're living in then. To deny their gods, and they had many of them, to deny their father's faith, to deny Judaism, to deny paganism, and to turn and follow the Christ was a powerful thing back then. Well, Jesus said, whosoever confessed me before men. I believe that Jesus meant that. There's one thing to confess Christ privately in front of the disciples, i.e. the apostles. But there's another thing to look your father in the eye or your mother in the eye and say, I no longer am going to follow paganism. I'm going to follow Christ now. Don't you know that cost them their lives back then? That was a serious issue back then. It was no laughing matter. As a matter of fact, before they were immersed into Christ, I would venture to say that they thought it through fully. And when you stop and you think about the Hebrew letter and those Christians who were being immersed into Christ, and now because of persecution and how the Roman government didn't sanction Christianity but Judaism, and now because of their family members and outside influences, they're ready to leave Christianity and go back into Judaism. Keep in mind that the temple was still standing. Sacrifices and offerings were still being made. They say, I can't take this no more. Can you imagine your kinfolk having a funeral for you because you left Judaism to go follow Christ? Can you imagine looking at the funeral procession and the casket has, well, you're supposed to be in there because in their mind you have died. You have left your father's religion. Can you imagine that? And then because of the relationship and the connection that they had one with another, they would deny the Christ. Go back into Judaism. Here Jesus tells his disciples, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father, which is in heaven. Isn't that a grand thing to know that the Christ is confessing you before the Father because of your love for him? Y'all speak to me now. Wake up. I tell the church, we start at 9, so, you know, I really got to get them awoke because, come on, y'all. I'm not the only one asleep here. But can you imagine? Because of your faithfulness to God, he's confessing you before your Father, which is in heaven. I love that. The God of heaven, the God of Isaac, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I'm sorry. God of Jesus, Paul, Peter, Mark, Luke, John. He's concerned about me. I'm valuable. You better believe it. And since you're valuable, he wants you to take a valuable message. Message of the word, the gospel. Look at verses 34 through 39. What time are we usually? About 10:20? Good dawn? Okay, two bells. Notice what the Bible says. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. Amen. Brethren, I know about this. Your own household cannot stand you because of your stance for the gospel. Brethren, this is still true today if we're holding fast to the word of God. If we're not compromising the truth, if not wavering to the left or to the right, if we're standing with Jesus Christ, this is still true today. And it cuts to your heart, it hurts you to your heart, because you want them to see what Jesus says. Notice what he says. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Notice, Jesus said, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Ephesians 6, verse number 17. Sword of the Spirit, which is the what? The word of God. The word of God brings division. As a matter of fact, when we stand upon the word of God, and things happen that might not be as, well, what we call nice. That's the way it's supposed to be. If congregations do not get along because of the word of God, one wants to stand on the word, the other one wants to go to the left, brethren, splits are supposed to happen. Why? Because the word of God is gonna divide. It's a sword. It cuts. How much do we value the word? Jesus was designed to get his disciples to see the value of the word of God. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Starting at verse number 11. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest any one fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him whom we must give an account. The word of God will bring forth division. The word of God must be seen as valuable. Now, there are going to be some things that may be said by me this week that, well, some in the religious world will not like. But brethren, this is all we have. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, literally right living. The man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Brethren, this is all we need. God's word is all we need. We don't need any addendums. We don't need any additions, subtractions. We don't need any man-made doctrines, creeds, manuals. We don't need those. This is all we need. And let me go on record. Some of the paraphrases, we don't need them. Let's just get back home to where we are. Because sometimes we think about the denominational doctrines that are out there because of their own books. But there are some books that we have, some paraphrases. Brethren, they are doing damage to the minds of men, because the minds of men are thinking that this is the word of God. And they're not. A paraphrase is nothing but man's thoughts on what the apostles said. Well, this is what we think he meant. God knew what he meant. That's why he inspired the apostles through the Holy Spirit to write. And I'm thankful that he used two dead languages that we could go to, Hebrew and Greek, in order to know that these things will not change. And why would God say, do not add nor subtract, if the languages didn't change? God knew, I'm going to put these, my writings, in languages that are dead, so man can't go back and try to change it. He knows man. He created man. In Ecclesiastes 7 and verse number 29, God made man upright, but man sought out many inventions. He made us holy. He made us good. But because of the minds of men, Jeremiah 17 and verse number 5 through 9, he goes off and he does his own thing. Brethren, we have to value the word. And we must trust that this belongs to God. And it came from his mind, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 and following. We have the mind of God in our hands. And I'm thankful that he gave it to us, and that he didn't give us all of his mind, because we can't even handle the little bit that we have of his mind. Oh, y'all smile. It'll be okay. But with that being said, brethren, his instruction is valuable. And he knew it was valuable. That's why he called them to the side. I need to tell you some things. There are going to be some people, they're going to persecute you. They're going to kill you thinking that they're doing God's service. John 16, verse number 1 and 2. But you keep preaching. Value the instruction. Value the souls of men. And let me say this, if you don't value your soul, you're not going to value the souls of others. And you know, we live in a time now that, especially our young people, my age, below, they really don't even care. They're not even thinking about spirituality. As a matter of fact, they are their own God. If you're your own God, how can you save yourself? Brethren, we have to get people to see that they're going to live eternally somewhere. At the time of birth, a person is going to forever exist somewhere. Amen. And as children of God, because we are so valuable to the plan of God, to getting the gospel out, we got to get them to see that. Heaven is definitely our goal. As a matter of fact, if you shoot for anything below heaven, that's being lost. We want to be with God throughout eternity. That's the purpose for us being here. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse number 13, fear God. Keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Our purpose for being here is to serve our God. And I don't know what we're going to do in heaven holistically, but I know that we're going to be doing some serving. So we got to get men to see that you need to serve God, and that you need to value your soul, because your soul is going to live somewhere forever. That you need to value the instruction, value the word, value men, value Jesus. And when children of God value those things, people are going to see it in our lives. I can prove it. In Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16, Jesus, as he is talking to those Galilean Jews on the Sermon on the Mount, he said, you are the light of the world. You're a city that's set upon a hill. Cannot be hid. Men are going to see your good works. and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Because of how you value God and the gospel and the church, they're going to see you and they're going to give glory to God. Isn't that a blessing? Don't you want people to give God glory because of your life? According to Colossians chapter 3, because your life has been hidden in Christ. Don't you want that? There's no greater joy to know or to have than to know that I serve God. Any comments? Any questions? I've done all the talking. I don't know. Maybe that's why you brought me here, to do all the talking. I don't get it. Yes, sir. Go ahead. Darren? I thought you had your hand up.
Oh.
Do anyone have any comments? Anyone can? No? So we have to value what God values. He values us as his people. He values the word. Let's do our part. It doesn't matter how young or how old you may be, you are still valuable in the Lord's church. We need you. Revelation 2 and verse number 10, be thou faithful, literally, even to the point of death. God will give you a crown of life. We have to be faithful. We have to do our part. But you have to know how much you're worth. You're worth a lot.
How can we best show others that we value?
Really, by how we treat them and teaching them the gospel. We're going to be talking about that this morning a little bit in our lesson. All during this week, we're going to be bringing forth the gospel. We show people how much we love them by teaching them the gospel. That saving power from sin. Look at Romans 5. I want to show you something real quick. We'll bring this out more in the lesson. Brother Darwin, when you get to Romans 5, I want you to look at verse number 8 through 10. We're going to be focusing in on verse number 9, but 8 through 10. We're saved from something. What are we saved from? Read, what does the Bible say?
But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Mm-hmm.
Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him.
Stop right there real quick, make a comment. What are we saved from? Wrath. The last thing we want to endure is the wrath of God. John 3 and verse number 36, when people don't obey Jesus the Christ, the Bible says that the wrath of God abides upon them. And in the Greek, it's right now, it's present active. As right now, when people do not obey the Christ, the wrath of God is upon them. Well, how do we appease the wrath of God? Through Jesus Christ. How does a sinful man approach a holy God? Through Jesus Christ. Keep reading. What does the Bible say?
For if when we were enemies, mm-hmm. we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life.
There you go. It's all about Jesus. Being saved through him. This is how we show people that we love them and that we care about them, by teaching them the gospel and by living righteous lives, holy lives. 1 Peter 1 and verse number 16, be ye holy, even as I am holy. Shouldn't we be holy? Y'all talk to me. Shouldn't we be holy?
Amen.
All right. Appreciate it, brother. I mean, folks asleep on me. We should be holy. Why? Because God is holy. We are valuable because God has placed value upon us. And in the world we live in, man is not really valuable. The word of God, we know, is not valuable to them. Instruction, guidance, structure, it's not valuable. when a man can take another man's life and have no remorse about it, he doesn't value man. And one thing I know for a fact, the situation that was, I have about 3 minutes of the Quran burnings. Even though we know that the Quran is not right, that man had no right to even think about that because of the lives that he was going to be putting in danger. We must value the souls of men and try to get the gospel out there as quick as we can. And you know, when children of God don't value the souls of men, we miss the boat. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.